Now, we all know that there is perfect spiritual man. But that does not mean that we can follow that statement with the statement that then there must be a perfect spiritual stomach back of that which mortal mind calls a stomach. If you were called to treat a man for a case which involved his stomach, his lungs, his heart, or whatnot, would you start him by declaring that that man had a perfect spiritual heart, or stomach, lungs, etc.? No, you would not. You would declare that man exists in divine mind as a perfect spiritual idea, that he is the expression or reflection of God through idea, and that all the ideas of mind are expressed through man, or patient, in their perfection and their infinity. You would know, among other things, that every function of man, every function of that patient, every faculty of that patient, is a faculty or function of mind, exists in mind, and is governed, controlled, and directed by that mind, and that therefore there could be no argument or belief of improper function, superinduced by the belief of torpidity, inaction, overaction, inharmony, of any name or nature, that could interfere with the perfect function of man's faculties. You would take up in your work, and handle, such arguments as were needed to be handled to meet the requirements of the particular case. If it were a liver complaint, for example, you would handle inaction, torpid action, improper and imperfect elimination, poison, which mortal mind says results from inaction or torpid liver, etc. You would know, as I said above, that every function of man, every function of this patient, exists in mind as a perfect idea in mind, and is, therefore, obedient to the mind that created it. That in mind there is no inaction or torpid action, because all action is here and now perfect in mind. And that because there is no inaction or retarded or impaired action, there could be no accumulation of false substance in the form or shape of toxic poison that affect or injure the life of man. You would not pay any attention in your work to liver. Liver is a creation of mortal mind, purely and simply, and was never made with a spiritual liver as a model or background. You would handle the question of substance, action, inaction, improper secretions, improper eliminations, torpidity, the argument of poison, etc., from the standpoint of perfect man made in the image and likeness of God. You would not become confused in any way, because you would see clearly that there is no matter, no mortal mind, and that man does not live in a mortal body or physical form, and was never in a position or place that God did not put him in, or a condition or environment that God did not create. You would know that spiritual perfection exists right here and now, that this patient was never thrust out of spirit and was never born into matter, and is therefore not a victim, a child, a slave, or a condition of matter, does not live in matter, mortal mind, or a physical body. And because he does not live in matter, he is not subject to any of the laws of matter, such as heredity, animal magnetism, or whatever needed to be met in that particular case. When you have your patient thus out of matter, then you can know the truth for him on a spiritual basis, without any regard to any particular organ or part. There are no spiritual organs, In fact, there are no material organs. There is no material condition to be met. Get your patient into mind as idea, image, reflection, and then leave him there when you close your treatment, and never let him get out of mind while you are giving your treatment, by becoming confused as to the spiritual idea back of the material. There is no material. All there is God and His perfect creation. And in that creation, there is perfect action, perfect supply, perfect man, perfect everything, without any reference whatever to the material. Never work from the material. If you attempt to visualize a spiritual organ back of a material organ, you are then working from the material instead of from the spiritual. Never forget Mrs. Eddy's statement that, quote, perfect God and perfect man are the basis of all thought and demonstration in metaphysics, close quote. And you will never become confused. Never try to tie the material to the spiritual. The material does not exist. It is a figment of thought, a dream of imagination. Quote, there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is His image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Close quote. One of the questions sent in for an answer was as follows. Quote, are flowers, plants, trees, birds, etc., spiritual ideas? Close quote. The answer is, of course, no. Nothing that can be discerned through the medium of the five physical senses is spiritual, not even mortal man. In the October issue of the Christian Science Journal, in an editorial by Mrs. Hoag, appears the following in this connection. Quote, from the very outset, then, of our endeavor to apprehend spiritual ideas, we cannot fail to see that they can never be associated with matter. To call an automobile, a printing press, a newspaper, or even a Christian Science Church edifice a divine idea would certainly be to present a strange sense of the spiritual objects in the heaven of soul. Even though an automobile may seem to be carrying a Christian Scientist on a loving, merciful mission, although a printing press and a newspaper may be used as a temporary means of proclaiming great statements of truth, although a Christian Science Church edifice may be filled with men worshiping God, nevertheless, the belief of a material agency, even though it be a better human concept, cannot be called a spiritual idea. Close quote. In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy has written, quote, nothing we can say or believe regarding matter is immortal, for matter is temporal and is therefore a mortal phenomenon, a human concept, sometimes beautiful, always erroneous. Close quote. In writing of the translation of the material into the spiritual, Mrs. Eddy writes, quote, spiritually interpreted, rocks and mountains stand for solid and grand ideas. Close quote. She does not say that there is a spiritual rock, or a spiritual mountain. Then she says, quote, "Animals and mortals metaphorically present the gradation of mortal thought, rising in the scale of intelligence, taking form in masculine, feminine, or neuter gender. The fowls which fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven correspond to aspirations soaring beyond and above corporeality to the understanding of the incorporeal and divine principle, love." Close quote. She also states, quote, "Patience is symbolized by the tireless worm, creeping over lofty summits, persevering in its intent. The serpent of God's creating is neither subtle nor poisonous, but is a wise idea, charming in its adroitness, for love's ideas are subject to the mind which forms them, the power which changeth the serpent into a staff." Close quote. Then she sums up the whole matter regarding the material creation as follows. Quote, "God creates all forms of reality. His thoughts are spiritual realities. So-called mortal mind, being non-existent and consequently not within the range of immortal existence, could not, by simulating deific power, invert the divine creation, and afterwards recreate persons or things upon its own plane, since nothing exists beyond the range of all-inclusive infinity, in which and of which God is the sole creator." Close quote. Thus we see that there is no counterfeit creation in reality, and that there exists in the divine consciousness only man and the universe, created spiritually and perfect. We do not have to worry as to what the spiritual idea of any material thing is, because there is no spiritual idea of any material thing. Materiality cannot be based on spirituality. The spiritual fact about God and man is the only fact. And right where mortal mind claims to exist is a perfect spiritual creation, intact, infinite, and forever perfect and eternal. We heal the mortal by knowing the truth about the spiritual, not by knowing the truth about the material, because there is no material to know the truth about. Now, this branch of Christian Science is a vast subject in itself. It is almost inexhaustible, and we could go on indefinitely here in contemplation and consideration of this one phase of metaphysics. But we have no more time. I fear that perhaps I have wearied you with a too lengthy discussion of things which seem to be uppermost at present. Metaphysics presents a broad and endless expanse for discussion. And while we have only touched briefly here on a few points, let us hope that we have made clear some of the things which may have been bothering some, and that from what we have said here today, there may be an unfolding and a growth of inspiration and consecration that will lead to a greater understanding, a broader view of the great truths of scientific Christianity, which Mrs. Eddy labored so long and so lovingly to give to you and me. That's the end of the address.